back on their feet after several decades. You know, we used to know Ajax as being one of the biggest in European football. But then, if you look at some other parts, yes, we did mention the Olympic Lyon Femininia coach, a massive one out there. There was that little Dalic of Croatia out there. But then I think one person I think a lot of people should actually look more towards is Ronald Koeman, who did a very awesome job getting these guys from Netherlands back. You know, doing such a great act out there. I think it's, for me,
we can say he's responsible for the resurgence of Memphis Depay.
Memphis Depay, Matthijs de Ligt looked like he wasn't going to reach their potential. We saw Dumfries get into that team. We saw the likes of Gideon put some more in what we saw from
getting
them
the best out of them.
We also saw the likes of Ryan Babel resurgent.
Even Martin de Roon.
It was so exciting for us, you know, over the course of the year. I think Zinedine Zidane deserves a worthy mention too because of what he has done, and you know, getting
because
away
of what he has done and how he resigned. That was
thank
awesome.
You very much. I was going to that getting away, you know, when the ovation was still very much loudest. But then I think my manager for this year would be Didier Deschamps. I think getting that particular setup, you know, everybody was talking about his selection. Why there was no Martial, there was no Andre Lacazette, there was no what's his name out there?
Questions about
Dembele was
questions about why he stuck to Giroud as
you know,
well.
A lot of people are questioning a lot of his moves, but then I think the fact that Mbappe was part of the squad kept a lot of people very positive. But I think he surpassed every expectations expected of him this year. Particularly, we saw friendlies against the likes of England.
With the FFF, I think I think even with the FFF, they didn't expect France to win the World Cup. They just felt
Macron was so excited, the president of France.
Yeah, they felt okay. The best they can do is probably get to the quarterfinals. Given the fact that they looked at the group and said, we should qualify from this group.
Yeah.
We're going to finish top, and if we finish top, we're probably going to meet Nigeria in the round of 16. We're going to beat them, and then quarterfinals, like probably they're going to lose. That was the thought, the thought process before, that they were probably going to get to quarterfinals and get knocked out. But I think once from the quarterfinals, they began to believe that it was possible. And after winning in the semifinals against Belgium, I became a believer just as much because of Mbappe.
And
I think anything Mbappe touched this year really turned to gold, except from that Champions League performance with Paris.
Well, I think aside from what you've mentioned, the fact that he was able to keep everybody cool and disciplined at the World Cup, likes of Griezmann, especially Paul Pogba, Mourinho, let's leave that. The likes of Varane putting in some of the best performances ever. Umtiti
getting the best out of this players is a lot of work.
It was so massive. And then the fact that he trusted Benjamin Pavard, he trusted Hernandez ahead of the likes of CDB, likes of Benjamin Mendy, who was very much injured. You know, we expected that they wouldn't have a quality left back, but then look at the performances over the course of the World Cup, and it was excellent.
They didn't have an experienced Centre back,
so to speak,
exactly.
Just in case you're wondering why I'm a very silent anchor, it is very, very difficult to interrupt when these guys are dropping their analysis. I mean, it's always fun, and just in case you don't know, I've been forced to be the anchor of this podcast, so I can't analyze.
Papi, I know Pep and Klopp were actually supposed to be our picks. For majority of us, I'm looking at MG, big one is this. Everybody's waiting, hands on deck, for Klopp, and we hope this does not go down.
I think FJ is really trying to not talk about this topic, so I'm going to save him the stress,
Papi,
and we're going to move on.
Aside saving him the stress, we have to get some, some tips on the mouth of Dejan Lovren.
In all sincerity,
he has every right to speak.
He has a mouth. But there are times when you don't want to. Remember that the last time they were this close.
Okay, somebody.
Should I say they sleep?
No.
Somebody said they shouldn't.
Gerard said they shouldn't.
Okay. I mean, it's just what it is.
I really feel for FJ right now, and I told him personally, should Man City not win this? I'm rooting for Liverpool all the way. But then again, I really want to avoid Liverpool right now because Liverpool seems to be the hottest team in the Premier League right now. Well, in quote, but talk about the supposed to be hottest team that has now lost games back to back, which is Manchester City. Now the question is this proof that Fernandinho is the most important player for Manchester City, in the Manchester City side? I'm going to start with you, Majid.
Well, I think
two games without him, two losses.
most of what Fernandinho has done so far, I think since he has been in that City team, he has gone, most people have tended to sweep it under the carpet. And that's why, one reason why that is because, you know, you have so many superstars in that team and everybody tends to focus on the Agüeros, the Kevin De Bruynes. And why? Because they get the goals, they get the assists, and all the beauty of the game is majorly centered around them. But this guy does the dirty work. And in recent times, I think I noticed that this guy, when he's sitting in front of the defense, you know, they have control of the ball. They are attacking anybody it is they are playing at that moment. Once a counter is on, most of the time he stops that counter even before anybody thinks it is a chance created. And that is one key factor why most of what he does goes under the carpet for a lot of people. But he's still
not necessarily under the carpet.
I won't say City is a one-man team, and I don't want to believe they're a one-man team, but they do miss his defensive abilities and where he shoots the defense.
I think he has just turned the question on its head now, and I'm not going to ask if Fernandinho is the most important player, and I'm going to ask, is Manchester City a one-man team?
No.
I think it's going to be folly to say they're a one-man team. Pep Guardiola last season talked about Harry Kane team for Tottenham Hotspur. I think this season we've seen a dynamic, a change from Spurs. Now
Son, the goals are coming from Son,
from Eriksen, from Ali, from everyone,
from the Brazilian,
from,
Alala, yeah.
from Moura. I think for Manchester City, the problem is about dynamic. It's not about a player, it's not about someone in particular. I think Pep Guardiola said everything. You look at the way Manchester City play, but Fernandinho is very fundamental, yes, but you also look at the starting lineups in the games they've lost. Fernandinho played in the defeat to Chelsea. So it's going to be very naive to put it down to, okay, because Fernandinho is not playing. I think it's because of the way City have played in the last two games against Crystal Palace and Leicester City. They're winnable games. I think they just expected to turn up at these games and roll over the opponent.
Thank you very much for
and
that.
I think it was just wrong to think like that.
Especially so like a team like Crystal Palace
or Leicester. I think Pep Guardiola is not thinking like that. But I think the players are beginning to think, we can handle these teams. You look at the game against Crystal Palace, John Stones played in the role of Fernandinho there. It's not something that is new. Even the great, you know, even Thomas Tuchel tried it in the Champions League with Marquinhos at Paris Saint-Germain. Marquinhos is not better technically than John Stones. I stand to be corrected. John Stones is technically superior. In fact, anybody, any footballer coached by Pep Guardiola is technically superior for me, because you're getting coached by a man who knows nothing other than football. And you look at that fact, and you look at the goals they conceded against Crystal Palace. Petty goals, silly goals, gave away stupid penalty.
Against Crystal Palace?
Against Crystal Palace, yes.
I think I beg to differ. Townsend's goal was a goal.
That was why I said it was a petty goal. I will tell you why it was a petty goal. Why did
that was a petty goal?
Why did nobody close him down before he took
that shot? That was just after a set piece, right?
No, that's still no excuse. You should close
no, I think the set piece came in. The clearance was poor.
Very poor clearance.
Oh, very clearance. Poor clearance. Okay, well,
very poor clearance.
And then as you a make a poor a clearance. Poor clearance. Nobody closes Townsend down.
Nobody disturbs him off.
Nobody
the ball.
Even makes a disruption.
There's actually nobody
the
around it. Like but you can't.
I think
like
it wasn't just. Radio. It wasn't just against Crystal Palace. Against Chelsea, Kante's goal.
The same thing.
Was something lackluster from Leroy Sané out there.
Into space, there was a lot of space. I think a lot of people finally realized that the way Man City play is about possession and they leave a lot of space. And when people see that space, they're going to utilize it. It was exactly the same way Red Star beat Liverpool 2-0 in the Champions League. Space. When you play space football for a team that holds the ball, they're going to get punished. Guardiola's team don't know how to make use of big spaces. They play all the football in small spaces. And when you see a team that plays all the football in small spaces, the only thing you need to do is make the pitch bigger for them, create much space, and you're going to punish them. You saw against Leicester yesterday in that game, the goal scored by Ricardo. He came in from the right wing, unmarked, nobody closing the angles down, had enough time to volley that ball. And he just went, I mean, not even Alisson was going to save that. I can say that because Alisson has been on a phenomenal run this season in terms of saving shots, in terms of shot stopping. But that was a clear repetition. Just the same thing as with Townsend. Set piece comes in, doesn't get cleared, and somebody just goes on the rebound. Bet me, I can bet you, that Jurgen Klopp is going to play for set pieces on the third. And what they're going to do is play for a set piece, wait for the second ball. Pep Guardiola teams, two games, all five goals they've conceded, second ball.
I think I'm about to declare, I'm about to make it a 3-point declaration. First, we're running out of space. Secondly, I think we're going to change the name of title of this podcast to FJ's Football Podcast. Because it's taking up all the time.
I don't know. Why is nobody looking towards the sides of Tottenham? Are they everlasting butler?
That's just six. Aren't they just six points off the table?
I think it's going to be very pretty too.
Kudos to Pochettino's last season, so to speak, because a lot of people are already touting him for the Real Madrid or the Manchester United job.
Haters everywhere.
These are not haters. It's just a fundamental thing. Now you look at the fact that he's one of the most readily available for the next jump. He's built this team.
Conte is available,
but then it looks like.
The young man cannot throw a joke in between the sticks.
This particular Pochettino team looks like they have hit their ceiling and they cannot punch much more ahead above their weight.
I beg to differ with you. I think the thing is the players.
I said looks. Looks like.
We're going to have to ban FJ. for the next five minutes.
The thing is, I actually thought they could have gone higher than what they have felt. But then I looked at a couple of seasons.
Sun is going January.
He's going for the Asian Cup.
He's going to miss the first two games.
How many Asian games and all of that do we see have in a year? But then the thing is, you know, look at the Leicester triumph, the miracle season. Everybody expected it to be Tottenham doing that. Maybe they were
take advantage
naive.
Of that.
Maybe they were naive at that point. But then
you think the naivety is not gone now?
That's the question.
I think it has gone down, and I think them.
Are you sure?
You look as Spurs.
You sure?
Matured as a team.
They have a lot of options. They look like they have a lot of options going forward.
No. I credit him for something he has done this season. Is the fact that the likes of Wanyama, likes of Eric Dier have not been missing when
needed.
You have seen the likes of Harry Winks, the likes of Sissoko, who we thought were useless, get in the hat for them this season. Lamela has come back bigger in a different role to what he played. Lucas Moura has looked like a very good buy for them. Harry Kane has turned into a very big complete forward. Now the thing is this, Harry Kane is not just scoring the goals, he's always making the tries, he's always trying to do something, pull something out of the blues. He's also trying to supply for his teammates in a bigger, more withdrawn role.
That's because it's the way Tottenham play now.
You
play now as the number 9, you have to drop into the number 10 space and allow the number 10 to go ahead of you.
So
that's the reason why it's working. Now we're seeing
because
play on the
space
way
is created. Once you drop in, I think one or two defenders are bound to follow you. And then there is space for this guy. And once the likes of Son, Lucas Moura, they don't sniff space. Exactly. I mean, it's dangerous.
If you have runners like the likes of Dele Alli, look at the ball he provided against Arsenal.
The EFL Cup.
I mean, that was sweet.
I think that for that Arsenal game, I just don't want to talk about it. I think it was just
I'm just going to go on and on and talk about how terrible and shabby the Arsenal defense was.
If you have people like Dele Alli in the team, you have people like Son, San Heung-min in there. You have able runners who can do something in there for you. Moura, look at the beginning of the season. Look at the way they handled Manchester United under Mourinho. It was a good one to look at.
Why did he have to put the clause? No, it's a new Mourinho. It goes into two games.
But I think one thing as a big factor for them this season is the fact that they are a very, very apt description of a direct attacking team out there. And most of the big teams that we see in this season actually look fallible when facing a continuous flow of direct attacking football. Look at the game against Bournemouth? Look at the goals they scored. Look at the one before that. Look at the way they dealt with these boys from Everton.
If you see,
in the 6-2, a wave victory.
Victor,
look at the last goal.
Massive.
Look at the last goal for Harry Kane. Look at the way it was set up. It was very, very sweet, fluid, and direct, non-stop.
I think if you deny Tottenham space, they're not going to
run into.
Yeah, sure.
And it's the same way Liverpool, Tottenham, teams that travel.
It's still
space.
Man City. Mm-hmm.
I think Manchester City would give them that space, but I don't know.
I beg to differ. Now that's what I'm talking about.
Manchester will give them the space when they are going forward looking for that.
Exactly.
Goal.
Manchester City.
I beg your pardon.
City play, like I said much earlier, they're a team that plays in small spaces.
Yeah.
So, a team that plays in small spaces, you look at the way they use the ball, they're more confident, a better man and all those things, pass the ball in small spaces. So I think for Tottenham Hotspur, I think, just to say, I think they're going to be a real threat this season. We've overlooked them for too long. The team has grown in leaps and bounds. Pochettino has done a fantastic job with that team. And I think how you should know that this team is on the verge of something special is that they didn't buy anybody in the summer.
That was massive.
Nobody left. It tells you the players believe in the manager. And I think, for me, they have a big chance. If Liverpool slip up, I think Tottenham are going to be the team that will win Premier League.
I never thought FJ will have a statement that has, if Liverpool slip up.
Don't say.
I'm not jinxing it. Dude, we're coming to the end of this show. You people have not allowed me to speak anything, so I'm going to talk.
I thought you final were speaking
question. I'm a speaker. Final question. So before we go, we need to run. Let's look into our crystal ball. Like one of our famous friends in the city of Ibadan will say, and let's predict. Where do you see Manchester United? If you people go on another long run, I'll just cut off this podcast.
Where do we see them?
Where do you see Manchester United finishing the season
in the Premier League?
Yeah.
Finishing.
Of course. What other competition are they still
competing? I'm just saying they're finishing the Premier League this season. That's all I know.
Of course, they're not finishing outside the Premier League.
Under Mourinho, they look to be finishing outside of the Premier League at the end of the season.
And there's a lot of talk about how closer they were to the 20th place than how far they were. Oh, God. The English media.
I think Abdelmajid wants to say something about the final position here.
Yeah, final position. Aren't you a fan? I thought you were talking about Solskjaer for manager of the year.
I'm not an analyst on this team.
I'm just suspecting. Is there a problem? Are you thinking the Ole Gunnar can't get you guys all the way?
I mean, I actually have confidence in
him because.
But they're here to play Manchester City again. They're here to play Liverpool again. They're here to play Chelsea again.
Let him speak, please.
Okay.
Let him speak.
Well, so you can deal with him after the show, right?
I think interestingly, they have a good run of the next 10 games to, you know, get a good run together, get some points on the board, and you know, I think some teams are bound to slip up in that 10 games, and it will present an opportunity for Manchester United. The only problem I'm not sure is, are they going to dive into the transfer window in January? Are they not? Because whether or not they progress into the top four, to end up in the top four this season, it looks a bit dependent on that, because
whatever happens in the transfer window,
you feel like whatever happens in the transfer window might be determinant on how their season ends up. They need a bit more flesh, a bit more quality to add to that Manchester United side to, you know, how do I put this now? To give it a bit more flesh. It looks kind of thin right now. Thin on quality is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Thin on quality.
I kept hearing flesh. I did not know what to make of flesh. But then again, flesh. I mean, we can have different. We have different kind of flesh.
You are saying Manchester United is going to finish.
I don't want FJ to say. If FJ is going to say anything, one sentence. Where will Manchester? Where, if you're going to say anything, one sentence. Where will Manchester United finish this season?
I have to be honest with you.
One sentence.
He's got the need. Let him speak.
I think
this is looking like two sentences already.
No, I want to think fourth, but you look at the fact that Arsenal and Chelsea are playing good football, especially Chelsea. I'm particularly
see
Chelsea.
Second sentence. See, I said one sentence.
No, it's a comma.
It's not a comma.
Especially Chelsea.
Who's going to comma? So this podcast is going to comma by the 20th minute. So y'all do what you want, John.
So I think Chelsea are going to finish fourth. So maybe fifth for Manchester United.
Ouch.
And
Europa League is not bad. The last time they played in the Europa League, they won it.
Yeah. So I think fifth.
Somebody showing us the middle fingers, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, fifth for Manchester United.
Fifth for Manchester United. What the Manchester United fan is saying, fourth.
They are going fourth.
They are going fourth. Oh, yeah. They are going fourth, or they fourth. Will finish fourth.
They are going fourth off of whatever Mourinho has done to them. Ole ole.
From all of us at ForTheGoal.com, this is season's greetings. We hope to have this more often. 20 minutes is a lot, and it looked like as if we could go on for 1 hour, 2 hours. We see a whole lot of mothers taking pictures of their kids, and a lot of people talking about a lot of flesh. The only flesh I know right now is chicken flesh, or goat flesh, or fish flesh. Season's greetings. We really hope 2019 is a really, really profitable year for you. From all of us at For The Goal. Is this what we say, click, click, bang? Or what do we say?
Click, click.
Bang. Have yourself a wonderful 2019. God bless. Peace.